This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
Well, I tell you, the season start couldn't be any better for Sherry Dunbar Cruzan's Volleyballers of Indiana U, coming off a season last year in which they recorded an overall record of 16-16, their most wins since the 2010 season when they advanced to the Sweet 16. But my golly, two tournaments, check plus, Indiana Invitational, check plus. They go out to San Francisco, take care of Campbell, USF, Columbia, and Princeton, and now ready for their third tournament in as many weeks as they try out Fort Myers, Florida, down south, and it is the Florida Gulf Coast Invitational. The veteran head coach, now in her 10th year, will be joining me here. The Indiana Hoosier Classic will be coming up in September. Well, this is September, but September 16th and 17th, looking forward to that. Sherry Dunbar Cruzan, by the way, with those four victories out in San Francisco, now with 250 career wins in Indiana, off to a 7-0 start for the sixth time in program history. And we'll also have Megan Tallman, the outstanding senior captain, on the team with us a little bit later tonight, as well as a brand spanking new healthy redshirt freshman out of Lexington, Kentucky, Kendall Bierman, who's already wrapped up one MVP crown herself as she dominated in the Indiana Invitational a couple of weeks ago. So, cream and crimson volleyball early season perfecto that is being yielded right now by the IU women's volleyball team, only one of four teams in the Big Ten that are still undefeated. A little bit later, Cricket Stick is the venue up in Carmel as the FedEx Cup will be winding down in 3 weeks. And joining us will be contributing writer for Golf Week magazine, Mike Lascott, as we'll take a peek ahead. A lot of the players getting practice out on the course, Cricket Stick in Carmel. And while that is happening, a lot of activities, a journey out to the Peyton Manning Hospital, as well as the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We're down to a field of 70. It'll be trimmed now down to 30 after a play that runs through Sunday. So my man, Mike Glascott, the man in the know, will break down the tournament for us, and we'll have a little bit of golf conversation as well as we look for that big million-dollar prize at the end of the rainbow for the PGAers. Along with our producer, Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, on-site producers Joanna and Mike Lascott, and all of our sponsors. Hi again, everyone. We're at Yogi's Grill and Sports Bar here at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Joe Smith with you as always, and next to me, my good friend, Sherry Dunbar Cruzan. You know, Sherry, we sat and we talked prior to you going out west to San Francisco, your old haunt, so to speak. That's kind of where it all began for you. And before we talk about the play of the women, how about the trip? And you see any old friends that you knew? Welcome to the show, my girl.
Yeah, thank you. It was a lot of fun, you know. I mean, I was there when I was 22. My staff kept reminding me. I kept saying, oh, that looks a little different, you know. And they kept saying, well, that was, you know, a century ago. So, but we had a great time. We got to get out there early on Thursday and tour a little bit, took the kids to Alcatraz, toured around the city a little bit, you know, just tried to give them the experience of going out there and not just playing volleyball. I think that's part of being a student athlete here at Indiana.
Well, I tell you, and I see Megan purchased a hat, San Francisco. Why not? And she continues her outstanding play as well. As we mentioned, Indiana now just one of four teams in the Big Ten that are still undefeated. Good starts have been the norm, but talk about the makeup of this team. I know that Kendall Bierman and I talked earlier in the week. We'll have her on at halftime of, or rather pregame, of our home opener at Memorial Stadium via tape, obviously, while she's down at Fort Myers. But we talked about the team chemistry. How has it evolved here through the first seven games?
Well, I think the young kids have added a lot. You know, the seniors are being great leaders, and they're doing what they should do as seniors, playing well and adding good leadership. But I think this young class has really added a lot of athletic ability, a lot of personality, and a lot of chemistry. And I think that's kind of rejuvenated our program a little bit. And it's nice to see that kind of mixture on our court right now.
Well, you know, you got redshirt freshmen, obviously, in Kendall, but then you got about a whole handful of first-year players. That's the most you've had for a while. How are they kind of, I know they're getting their feet wet, big-time college volleyball. How's the transition been for them?
I think, well, we have two freshman middles, and, you know, Jasmine McDonald's playing one of the spots, and then Hayden Hewers and Daisha Lofton have kind of split the position. And the good thing is, and I said this to somebody asked me in an interview about them, and I said, I feel like they have a little bit of ice in their veins. They don't get very nervous, and they stay really calm on the court, and they come in and they play very experienced. For a middle blocker position is a very tough position to transition into, I think, as a freshman. And I think they've handled it with a lot of grace.
Well, that is heartening to hear. And the schedule, obviously, we don't even have to talk about how tough the Big Ten is. It is tough, and it keeps getting tougher. We'll touch on it because it's going to be here before you know it. Indiana will open at home, by the way, against Northwestern on September the 21st. But they do have the Hoosier Classic coming up on the 16th and 17th out at UChem. Well, we mentioned Megan Tallman being one of the captains. The other, obviously, is another outstanding senior that's played, just her heart out, Taylor Lebo. Talk about both of them and just about, all of the work, dedication that they've put into the game and what they've given you.
Well, I think what's great about them is they've evolved just like everyone else, and I think they've always been great players, but now I think they understand the program so much better and what they want to give back to the program, and I think they've become great leaders. And now they're an extension of the coaching staff, and that's what you always want out of your captains, is to be extensions of the coaching staff. And so, to have them with us on one page and to help this younger team understand the importance of, the sacrifice, the discipline, the hard work, all those type of things, it's really helpful to us. So it's fun to actually be with them now and coach them. Sometimes during their career you're a little head against the wall, sure, kind of coaching them, and I think they've really turned into this, hey, if coach says this, we're doing it, and now it's just them talking. So I really enjoy the senior class a lot, and I really want this to be a great year for them and the legacy they'll leave.
I know Paul Consors joined us, the associate head coach under you, but I know you had an opportunity to bring on a new assistant in Jason Oliver. And, of course, we got Ashley Benson coming back to her old haunt. She just can't give up volleyball. But talk a little about Jason's responsibilities, and glad to have him on board.
Yeah, it's nice. He's a head coach, and he was a head coach for 7 years at High Point University, and they were very successful. And it's this position in the Big Ten is one of the most important positions. And a lot of people will give up head coaching jobs at good universities to come and be in the Big Ten right now because it's the best conference in the country. And so recruiting, having that title, recruiting coordinator, is a big deal. I mean, it is a lot of how successful we're going to be at any level, but especially at the Big Ten level. So he's got a lot on his shoulders. He's very energetic, highly motivated. He's a setters coach, and I think our setters, Megan being one of them, is really enjoying having that one-on-one attention from a really great player and coach. And so he's added a lot to our program already.
You probably didn't have to, when you were looking for a volunteer assistant, probably didn't have to twist Ashley Benson's arm much, did you? And here she is back at her alma mater, first year.
Played 1 year in Puerto Rico, 4 years in Germany, and started to get, nicked up a little bit, the knee and stuff, and we talked on the phone, and we've kept in contact on a regular basis since she's been gone. And she's a Hoosier, and she's Bloomington-born and bred. This is her first love, is our program and volleyball as a sport. So to have her back, first-team All-American, working with our young middles, is really just a joy for me to have her around because she's one of my all-time favorite players, but also just to have that passion about Indiana.
Sherry Dunbar-Cruzan joining us, the Indiana volleyball team, the ladies on their way to Fort Myers, Florida this weekend for a play down there at the Gulf Coast Invitational with a record of 7-0, two tournament championships under their belts. While we're talking about your staff and the guy that's been around you now, for 4 years now, I believe, and that's your director of operations, and that's Shane Wilkinson.
Yeah, you don't realize how much they do for your program. I think that people that don't know, so he does everything behind the scenes, literally everything behind the scenes, on every trip and all the organization, all the camps, all those type of things. And he's newly married, newly a dad, he's got a lot on his shoulders, and he really loves this program as much as we all do. He's from Indiana. So this is his dream job. And so, you know, I feel like we put together the best staff we've ever had. And I think our kids are fortunate to have so many good people helping them out and helping them be great.
Well, they visited Alcatraz. They ate a final meal at the In-N-Out Burger. I mean, if you're out in San Francisco, you gotta have a burger or two like that.
Have you ever had In-N-Out Burger?
Oh, yeah. When we were out there, you know, remember we went out there in basketball with Bob Knight a few decades ago. And, yeah, they're a lot better than, there's more meat to them than a White Castle. You know what I'm talking about. We're just getting started talking Indiana women's volleyball with the veteran herself, the head coach of the Hoosiers, Sherry Dunbar-Cruzan. We'll talk more and a little bit later in the show. We've got a couple of the players as well. We alluded to Megan Tallman, one of the captains, and Kendall Bierman joining us as well. You're listening to Sports Talk on a Tuesday night. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone, as Sports Talk continues on a Tuesday night. Don't forget it. We've talked about it. And by the way, we gave it plenty of airtime when we were on last Tuesday with our Olympians. And again, we thank the great crowd that showed up to salute Lily King and Blake Ferroni. If you missed it, I got a cold chill when they came in to a standing ovation. And when they left, they had a standing ovation. But we were plugging the new HT sports reporter thing they have going, and they had a big shindig in here at Yogi's last Thursday that was well attended. But don't forget, Yogi's has the Sunday's brunch from 11 until 2, only $9.95, and they've got a great menu for you there, as we have a busy week in front of us, busy for the IU women volleyballers of Sherry Dunbar-Cruzan. Out to Fort Myers, Florida, or down to. And, you know, coaches talk about improvements, you know, match to match, but let's compare tournaments to tournaments, and especially with the travel involved, Sherry. Talk to me what you liked about what you saw that was good and things to work on between the time you won the first tournament and the one you won last weekend.
Well, in my 10 years here, I think the one thing that we've really improved on this year is our offense, our hitting efficiency. We're fifth in the nation right now.
Great.
And that's something we haven't been able to do. Now, on the counter part of that, we're allowing teams to hit it too high of a percentage against us. So we've really started to focus on our defense now, on our block and our defense behind the block working together to slow down other teams, because at some point we can't hit high enough in the Big Ten, you know, and we got to keep teams down in their efficiency. So happy about our offense, happy with the speed, the pace that we play with. Now we got to slow other teams down a little bit, and that's our focus this week in practice.
Well, Arkansas State, rather, I'm jumping ahead to the Hoosier Classic. Jeremy Rosa, Rosenthal gave me the note on the Hoosier Classic. I started running down the field for that, but they'll be here in time. Arkansas State, IUPUI, and Cleveland State, but that's the 16th. Marist, South Alabama, and the host school, Florida Gulf Coast. So these three brands a little bit different than you encountered with Campbell, San Francisco, and the Ivy League schools?
Well, you and I have talked about RPI and how much we put into scheduling right now, because it's so important for the NCAA selection show and all that. So, you know, Florida Gulf Coast is an RPI team, and it's why we're going down there. They're an NCAA perennial team. Even though people don't hear about them a lot, they're funded very well down there for the volleyball program, and that would be a huge win for us. South Alabama's 5-1 and not a bad team, so we're going to have to be ready for that. And then you come back home and you play in a tournament with three NCAA tournament teams. So it's on purpose how we schedule these tournaments, where they only get better and better as we go along. We played Princeton out in San Francisco, who won the Ivy League last year, which is another good RPI team. So, you know, we have a mature enough team, and with our seniors, that they understand how this whole thing works, you know, and the quality wins, and you can't have the bad losses and things like that. So the preparation is really important for every single match. And then there's some really important wins you need to kind of rack up in that non-conference schedule.
And no question. And again, we remind, I think most people that come out and support you at UChem know that there's no postseason Big Ten tournament. So that RPI, and we talk about it, it's huge and huge and huge. So these wins count, especially against these very well-respected teams, regardless of the month of the year. I mean, you know.
Well, your RPI doesn't change as much when you get into Big Ten play. So once you...
Let's hope not.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
You know, everybody's good in Big Ten play. So once you kind of get to that point in the non-conference, you really want to try to go undefeated or one or two losses at the most and no bad losses, you know. So we understand it. After this many years being in it, you have to be real about it, not kind of skate around it. You know, this is why we did the schedule. This is what we need to do.
Sherry Dunbar-Kruzan joining us in conversation as Indiana heads down to Fort Myers, Florida for play this weekend. And that being said, and you were talking about your senior class, I want to make note of one, and that's your rising senior, Jasmine McDonald. Now, she made that 12-player roster for the U.S. Collegiate National Team over in Europe. How'd that go for her? And what have you seen out of her that she maybe picked up while she was on that team?
Yeah, I mean, she started for that team over there that won a gold medal, and that's a really good thing. You know, I mean, that's unbelievable experience for her to get to play with some of the best in the country and bring that knowledge back. And I think she just saw that the level of competition over there. And I think it also renewed her. You know, she wasn't really thinking about playing overseas after, and now she's got a renewed energy that maybe she's thinking about playing like Ashley Benson did. So, you know, they realize that they're capable of so much more than they even think they are, especially when they get selected for a team like that. You know, she was so shocked, but then she actually earned her keep over there, and I think it gave her a lot of confidence coming back to our program.
Well, it's not on the back burner because, first of all, I was very impressed when you and I sat down and did an interview last week before you left for San Fran in your new office space away from, in a different spot at UGM, but my golly, everything refurbished, beautiful carpet. Yeah. Talk a little about your new home, at least for now.
Yeah, with Assembly Hall renovation, you know, people were getting moved all over the place just to have more space. And so we asked if we could possibly move to UGym, and Fred Glass was very open to that idea and actually helped us do a lot of renovations over there. And it's so much more convenient for us to be able to, you know, be upstairs for work and then go downstairs for practice, and it's more convenient for our kids as well. So, you know, for 2 years, we're going to be in there.
Well, we are joined by a couple of your players, and before we talk to them, Megan Coleman and also joining us, the outstanding young lady from Lexington, Kentucky, red shirt last year after rehabbing from an ACL, and that happened during her senior year of high school, Kendall Bierman. We'll talk to them. The envision or the vision of that brand new arena.
Yeah.
I know it's a couple of years away, but my golly.
Yeah, it's kind of the deal breaker for recruiting right now. You know, I mean, with the arenas that are being built in the Big Ten and that already exist, it's a big deal. I mean, we're sitting across from Megan, and I know she's bummed because she'd love to play in it, but, you know, it's all part of the program, and you know, she'll be an alum and come back, and she's building a legacy that's going to live on through that arena. So I know she's proud of that as well, and Kendall will hopefully get to play in it. So we're looking at a couple years, and then hopefully we'll be playing in that in 2018 is our goal.
You know, since this is radio, Sherry, give us a visual of where that specifically will be, and it's going to be both volleyball and wrestling, right?
Yeah, volleyball competition and practice and wrestling competition. And it's moved around a little bit, and it's not 100% secure where it's going to be, but we think right now it's going to be right near Cook Hall. So it'll be across from swimming and Briscoe dorm in that parking area there. And so that's a really great location for us because everyone that knows where we play, we're a little bit off campus, and to get students to come and just to find UGym sometimes is a challenge. And so to be over on the athletic campus will be a big deal and more convenient for our players, too, to be able to go to the academic center, the training room, all those type of things, the training table. So everything will kind of be in one place.
Well, that's just going to be great. And a whole new atmosphere, if you will, along 17th Street once the Scott Simon Hall is taken care of and all the other things going on, volleyball included with that brand spanking new facility. Joining us, as we mentioned, a couple of outstanding players for Coach Sherry, getting ready to now to repack and go down to Fort Myers, Florida. I hope they don't have the humidity, Megan, that we had when we were in Miami Beach. It was a different kind of humidity. But thanks so much for joining. You've been on the show before, but talk to me a little about this this start this season.
Well, I mean, 7-0 is nothing to be shy about. I think that we should be really proud of the things that we're doing. And not only is it 7-0, but it's 7-0 against teams that we know are going to post good RPIs. So for our ultimate goal, it's amazing. And not even 7-0 is the most, like, the thing that I'm most impressed by, but my teammates and the way that we're bonding right now. And being a senior with the support staff around us right now is incredible. So
Kendall and I had talked about that team chemistry so important, and it's really a big shot in the yard because of all the freshmen, and you were a freshman not many years ago, and here they are jumping from high school into big-time collegiate volleyball, and it's been a grand ride so far for them, haven't it?
Yes, it has been. I mean, they came in the summer, and they immediately clicked with us, whether it was personality-wise, getting in the gym, running, and, you know, getting all of that work in with Chris Virtue, but they are such a special group of girls who came here to do the same thing that my class came in to do, to change this program and to make it better. And every single day I see that from them. I see a work ethic and I see a positivity in them that I will continue to be proud of for years and years after I leave the program.
Young lady out of Island Lake, Illinois, a major in psychology, a double major criminal justice, her minor, Megan Tallman, joining us. Well, you're a captain. You have been captain in previous years, and here you are along with Taylor Lebo. Are you a vocal? Are you a leader by example? How you going about you and Taylor doing business, being co-captains?
Well, it's great having Taylor Lebo. I think that we come from very different perspectives. She's a very free person, and I love that about her. I would definitely say that I'm more of a vocal leader. Being the setter, it's compared to the quarterback, some would say. So running the offense and really setting the tone and the pace of our offense. So I would definitely say I'm vocal, and I think that Kendall would agree with that.
Kendall, welcome to the show. You and I talked earlier before everyone got here. Young lady, a redshirt freshman from Lexington, Kentucky, a sports marketing and management major. And first of all, how great does it finally feel after watching on the sidelines your teammates to hopping in Indiana Invitational MVP? How does it feel to be back in action?
I mean, you said it feels great. I mean, I watched for a year, and I learned a lot, and I was just really anxious after almost 2 years of literally just watching and training, and now I finally have the chance to be on the court with the team, and it's a really, really good feeling, and I'm really glad that we're all clicking and we're doing really well, and I'm just super proud of what we've done so far.
You know, Megan was just telling me about the mesh, the chemistry. What are you seeing as basically, although you were with the program last year, what are you seeing as the season here is only in the early goings on?
I mean, yeah, it's early, but already on the court, we're just all on the same page. You look at people and you can just see in their eyes that we're all in it, and we all have the same goals, and we can say whatever we want to each other, and we all take it to heart, and it's just, like, it's really good, and I think that we're all doing fine. Yeah.
I know it was tough being out, you know, and not being able to play, but what did that do for you mentally? And talk about the road back, the perseverance, and the hard work that you had in the off season to get back healthy and now doing what you're doing. You're one of the your hitting percentage is right now one of the best in the Big Ten.
It was really hard work coming back from an injury like that, but it was all worth it. I mean, at the time I was like, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me, but looking back, it was probably the best thing. I got stronger, I got faster, I got to watch and learn what it takes to play in the Big Ten, and yeah, it was. I mean, it sucked, but it's fine. I mean, I'm 100% now, so that's all that matters. And
well,
ready to go.
Kendall Bierman joining us along with Megan Tallman. Megan, kind of, as she said, she knows her role. She's been doing it for years. She's the quarterback. You are right now leading Indiana in kills and also hitting percentage. But that is you. That's your game. How have things transpired here through the first seven with regards to your offense?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been super aggressive with my hitting, and Megan makes it really easy, setting up good balls. But, yeah, it's just I have so much fun playing, and I think that really translates to my game. And, again, I was super hungry coming off a year off, so I'm just ready to go.
Well, we know you got some superstitions, and you and I had kind of touched on that before. And we'll talk a little about Megan's ball cap. I love it. And we'll talk about that in a second, her San Francisco hat. And it's not a Giants hat. It's a I left my heart kind of in San Francisco, the original hat of SF. But you're into different color headbands.
Yeah.
You got a yellow one on tonight.
I do.
And you play with a different color headband?
Yeah, like we talked about earlier, I probably have every color in the rainbow in my drawer in my bathroom. So, I don't know, I just switch it up. It's kind of my thing. It's how I show my personality, I guess. And
Did you do that when you prepped at, where'd you go, Tate's Creek?
Tate's Creek, yeah. Yeah, I did that then, too. I mean, actually, we have my coach, if she's listening, we had a rule. We had to wear maroon or black.
I got
Those were our colors, but we had games where we were allowed to wear whatever we wanted, so I would always wear, like, a rainbow one.
Now, you're wearing yellow, so what's been your strong color? I hope it's crimson. You got something cream and crimson?
Actually, the turquoise and yellow have been doing good for me, so I'll stick with those.
You're laughing.
I had no idea. I mean, I'm learning.
I know.
I don't know their superstitions, I guess.
Clint Eastwood used to say, "I got to know, you know." I asked the question. Well, girls, stay healthy. It's great seeing you. Two in the well, one to get down in Fort Myers. Kendall Bierman joining us, sports marketing and management. Got anything down the road? I know you're just basically.
Yeah, just getting started. I mean, I'll look for internships probably next year.
Cool.
But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I really like the whole concept of it. So it's really broad. I could take it as many directions as I want. So I'm pretty excited about it. It'll be fun.
And that's a great area for women these days, obviously. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunities. And when you seek those internships, get them early. Get your foot in the door.
Hey,
best of luck to you down at Fort Myers. Kendall Bierman joining us. Megan, I got to talk to you a little about what's been going on here. I mean, the seventh player now in school history. Over the years, you've racked up a few assists, and I think it is up to 3,000 and counting now. You enjoy that, obviously.
I do. For me, setting's kind of been something that I've done since I was about 10. So I've really taken the role, and I love being the person that kind of gets to dole out what goes on. And with that comes a lot of responsibility, but I think that I've put in a lot of work here, and I've gained a lot of respect from my teammates, and it's a two-way street. So I just love being able to help my teammates perform at their highest level.
You know, Megan, the Big Ten won't start, and Indiana will be home to Northwestern on the 21st of this month. But as you see, and you'll have another opportunity this weekend down at Fort Myers in that tournament against a tough field, but with the pieces currently offensively, what are you seeing here? Do you see a good, solid offensive attack?
Oh, yeah. This is the strongest I've ever seen our offense at Indiana. We are firing on all cylinders, as we like to say in practice. So when we're in system, even when we're out of system, we're running things so quickly that it's hard for the opponents to keep up with us. So my pins, Kendall Bierman, Lizzie Asdell, all of my pins are having great opportunities. And then when we pass in system, even slightly out of system, our middles are so quick and so dynamic that we're able to get them off at such quick speeds that the other block can't really keep up with us too well. So when we maintain that and even push the speed even more, we're definitely going to be someone to watch for in the Big Ten.
What's volleyball meant to you? You're getting a great education. As we said, you came to us from Illinois, good volleyball state, but you cashed your lot with Coach Sherry Dunbar, Cruzan. What's it all meant to you?
Well, I started at such a young age, and both my parents and my sister played, so it's kind of just been something that's kept my family going to the same things and staying together. And coming to IU, I really created a different family with it, too. I actually just tweeted the other day, leaving San Francisco 7-0 with my family. So I live with my teammates, and I have for all 4 years, and it's just something that I'll never get to relive. So every day I'm learning to live in the moment and be with my teammates and my family, and it's been more than I could have ever imagined at Indiana.
How was the trip across to Alcatraz?
I'm such a geek about that stuff. It was probably one of the most exciting things I've ever done in my life. Ghost Adventures, it's a TV show. They were there, so I freaked out because I was like, I am standing in the same spot that Zach Bagans stood in. You'll have to watch it, but...
Yeah, that's coming up here shortly, isn't it? Or that show?
Trust me, it's on Amazon Prime. You can watch it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
My favorite.
Where'd you get your hat along the...
Pier 33, there was a little gift shop.
Yeah, there were a few there.
Yeah, I saw it, and I had to get it. I also got an otter stuffed animal.
Okay.
My favorite animal.
Did you get any fishing material? We hear that you're when you're not studying and not assisting and your Hoosiers. That tell us about your hobby, man. You love fishing.
I do. I was on the bass fishing team in high school, the only girl in the entire thing. But it's really something that me, my dad, and my grandpa have done for such a long time. So it's just another one of those things.
Well, this is great country down here. You ever get down to Monroe and the best kept secret's Lake Lemon?
I have a few times. I used to have my fishing poles here. My dad, of course, took them back because he was jealous of my Kevin Van Dam pole. So he stole it from me. But
well,
I need to go more.
Well, Megan, reel in a couple of more wins, another tournament title, and we'll see you when you get rolling next week back home. Hoosier Classic, September 16th, and then the start of the Big Ten against Northwestern. Stay healthy. Great
Thank
seeing you.
You
again, and we'll talk to you later in the season.
Thank you.
Well, you know, two great examples of what we were talking about and obviously keys. So just some parting thoughts. When are you leaving for Fort Myers?
Thursday.
Okay.
We'll go down Thursday and have a nice dinner and get some rest, you know, and then play three matches down there.
So, and then back home, the Hoosier Classic, and now we can talk about Arkansas State, IUPUI, and Cleveland State. That'll be the next time you'll meet UCHA.
Yeah, three NCAA tournament teams. Arkansas State finished 28-2 last year, lost to Michigan State in the NCAAs. So we're, Cleveland State, really tough. So we're excited about that. We'll be ready.
Well,
you know, when we come back home, we'll be ready.
Well, good luck to you this weekend
down
Fort Myers. Always great talking to you. Tell
Thank
my favorite mayor I send him my best again. Also to our guest, in addition to Sherry Dunbar, Cruzan, Megan Tallman, and Kendall Bierman from the Hoosiers, off to a 7-0 start. My golly, the sixth time in program history, and down to Fort Myers they go. We'll trek up to Carmel and Crooked Stick, where the BMW is taking place, the festivities. They had our bronze medalist, Matt Kuchar, hitting golf balls, trying to get a hole-in-one down along the yard of bricks today at the Speedway. We'll see how that went with Mike Lascott, who joins us. He's a contributing writer, in addition to everything he does for us on the airwaves in Indiana University Athletics, contributing writer for Golf Week. When we return, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone, to Sports Talk. Right here at the Yogi's Sports Bar and Grill. I get that mixed up. It's Sports Grill and Bar, isn't it? Sports Bar.
I think you're good both ways.
Yogi's. I've said it so many times. I've
been
probably,
here a long time.
You know, said a lot of times. Hey, thanks for coming on tonight.
My pleasure. It's nice to be on the other end of the stick.
Well, you know, we want to. Lance had an unforeseen thing pop up. Lance Ringler, who I always bring on along with class when we talk golf. We haven't talked golf on the PGA tour since the Masters. But Mike is, in addition, as I mentioned, everything he does for us in Indiana University Athletics, is also a contributing writer for Golf Week. And here we are, the FedEx Cup playoffs whittled to 70, reaching the third postseason event, the BMW. And, this rather select field assembled at historic Crooked Stick Golf Club right in your neighborhood.
The old neck of the woods.
When you were growing up, my
That's
friend.
Right. And,
Weather chasing 30 coveted spots. So it's going to be interesting.
It always is, Joe. And it's always fun to see the season come to a culmination because guys play themselves into it. We know that the PGA Tour is a meritocracy. You don't get out there because you have sponsorships, because you got fancy clothes. The clubs you use, you have to go out there and perform. And there's nothing else that shows that more concisely than the FedEx Cup playoffs. Four events. The first event starts with the top 125. The next week, it's the top 100. This week, the top 70. And then a week off, and then it's off to East Lake in Atlanta for the Tour Championship, where the top 30 players remaining, based on how many points they've earned throughout the season, the playoff points reset before the first event, and the points, I believe, quadrupled this year. So you could do a little math on that and figure out who could be in if they didn't play well, who had to play well to get in. And at Crooked Stick, the first time back since 2012, the Pete Dye course, one of his first ever, built in 1964, hosted in 2012 the BMW. And that year, Joe, was interesting because Rory McIlroy won. That's not interesting. He'd won the week before at the Deutsche Bank, but they had big weather problems, lots of rain. The course was soft. The course was long. It played almost 7,500 yards. And if you look at the scoreboard from 2012, you saw 12 of the top 15 guys were guys that got it off the tee, 300 yards, hit greens in regulation, and again, small greens this week, so you're not going to have a tremendous amount of putts to look at if you hit them in the right spot of the green. So it'll be interesting to see if the weather holds off. I just saw an email from the media folks there saying they're changing the parking for Thursday and Friday, so I guess they're expecting some kind of weather. They don't want to get cars stuck in cornfields and things like that.
Right.
So they're moving everybody out to the old airport and going to shuttle them in. So that tells me we could have a repeat of maybe what we saw in 2012. The weekend looks better as we continue weather-wise, but when you're talking about Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Adam Scott, let's just keep going and going and going. All the big boys that have played well this year are here. Patrick Reed won the first playoff event at the Barclays, which was an old Tillinghast course. Bethpage Black, which we know has hosted a couple U.S. Opens. Rory wins last week, Joe. And the one thing you find about the playoffs, it's always, it seems to be the guys that are in form or the guys that have the pedigree and pomp to handle these big courses, to handle $1.53 million for winning, and then getting themselves into East Lake. So it should be an exciting event.
Well, we have some interesting pairings. Patrick Reed along with Jason Day and Dustin Johnson.
One, two, three, get you right out of the gate.
Yeah, we'll play in a threesome, and they'll be teeing off at 11:36 on Thursday. Russell Knox, Emiliano Grill, and Jimmy Walker playing together. Then we have Paul Casey, who blew his lead to Rory McIlroy, but Rory, I think, just took it away from him
with some outstanding
golf, especially on the greens. He, Brent Snedeker, Ryan Moore, who's been on fire lately. And then Rory, Adam Scott, and Jordan Spieth. Now, how about that one, 4-5-6, and they go in late at 142 on Thursday.
You have a great day if you're out there any of it, which is fantastic. And they pair them up by where they fall in the standings, I believe. To at least get them going before they pair them up on the weekend. There is no cut, Joe, so all 70 will play. So one thing to remember, if you see a guy get off to a slow start, well, that's not a huge deal because he has three rounds to make all of it up without having to worry about making that cut line on Friday. But the interesting part is in every playoff event, you have a bubble. And the guys that were trying to get into Boston at the top 100, you had those guys hovering around there. You had the guys obviously at looking to get in the top 70 for this week. And then at the end of this weekend, Sunday, it's the top 30 that will get into East Lake. So you've got those four or five guys on each side of number 30 that are going to have to put up some results. But the one thing the playoffs has done, interestingly, over the last few years, which I think everybody can agree with, even if Mark Leishman, number 70 this week, wins the golf tournament, he will have a chance in Atlanta to win $10 million. Now, when you get to East Lake, the top five are guaranteed a chance. If any of the top five after this weekend win in Atlanta, they win the $10 million bonus.
I think I said $1 million earlier.
Oh, that's a one-shot bonus.
$10 million. $10 million.
So Leishman, if he would win, would finish sixth. And if the guys in front of him, none of those five won, and he did, and the math worked itself out, he could win the $10 million. So you really, like Yogi has said before, Joe, it's not over until it's over. If you win your way in, they don't have the wonky math that they did a few years ago that didn't let it happen. They've changed that to add excitement. They have done that to add interest because, if you remember, I believe the first playoff year, BJ Singh won the first two events out of the traps and the playoff was over. They didn't even have to play the last two events because they didn't figure the math. They didn't figure anybody was going to do that. That is long gone. You remember last year, Jordan Spieth missed cut at Barclays, missed cut at DBC, finished T13 at Conway Farms at the BMW, but he had five wins during the regular season, Joe, so those points count. All the points count, just not the playoff points. So he went into the Tour Championship third or fourth, again, in that top five, and he won at East Lake last year. He won the $10 million bonus. He won $22 million last year from tee to green. You can't beat that. So you've got all the big players. You've got a Pete Dye course, which is interesting. And obviously in this part of the world, having that right up the street, all the news coverage, us, we're all following it and being on top of it. And it is the best guys. It is the time to shine, to knock it down to 30. And you've got to perform to keep your spot in East Lake.
We have a par 5, 15th, and Waterline Par 3, 17th are going to be a couple of the featured holes you might want to
look. Yeah, water all the way home, Joe. 16, yep. 17, and 18 brings water into play. And the water on 17 is new this year. Well, new for the tournament. They've put this in the last couple years at Crooked Stick. The Par 3 had a great bailout place to go. Well, if you don't like it, you just bail out over here.
Right.
Well, now there's a lake. So that's going to make things interesting. And then you've got the lake down the right side, I believe it is, on 18 tee shot, which will be affected. So, again, you want drama coming down the stretch. You want guys to have to execute under those conditions, and that's what you're going to get. And if Rory McIlroy or Jordan Spieth or Jason Day has got a five-shot lead going down the stretch, well, he earned it. And that's the great thing about it. No one gives these guys anything. They have to go out and earn it under the highest pressure, the toughest field perhaps at this time of year with the hottest players. And, again, with that paycheck and $10 million in the rearview mirror.
Oh, yeah, and that is going to be in a couple of weeks beyond the BMW, which starts on Thursday morning up at Crooked Stick in Carmel. Rory, you went up to number four in the FedEx Cup standings, but Patrick Reed, Jason Day, Dustin Johnson, Rory, and Adam Scott, those five right now, I mean, if today was Sunday, and it was those five, then those five, as Glass mentioned, would have an opportunity to be guaranteed to play for a million. You know, it's been said, 10 million. This is the cruelest cut of all. I mean, you could be playing well, and there's no cut. The 70 best in the world are playing in Carmel, but doggone it, if you have a mistake or two, it could throw your whole season away, Glass.
It is, but you've got four rounds to fix it. Unlike last weekend, Joe, if you were, I don't know, a guy that went out and shot 70 on Thursday and then shot 75 on Friday, missed the cut, he has no Saturday, Sunday to reclaim it. Rory McIlroy didn't get off to the most flying start last week, but he shot 65 and 66 on the weekend, or 66, 65 rather, had a triple and a double, won the golf tournament handily. That cut, so that's going to free some guys up. It's interesting to see, though, the guys dealing with that pressure to get into Atlanta. You've got a guy like William McGirt, who's in the middle of a career year, hovering around 26, 27. You've got Matt Kuchar, who's made the Atlanta for the last, since 2009. He's at 28. If he has an off week on a long, wet, nasty golf course, that's not going to be terribly surprising. So this week I think you're going to look for guys, Joe, that nail it off the tee. Find some of the smallest greens in regulation. If not, they better have excellent short games like Reed or Spieth where they can get up and down and stay out of trouble. And you're going to have to make some birdies, it looks like. 2012 is our only teacher. And when 20 under is the winning score, well, that's plenty. That's plenty to deal with. So you're going to have guys. Again, this isn't like a U.S. Open where you shoot an even par round and you hope everybody falls apart around you. This course has shown us you're going to have to score, and the big boys are going to show you how to score on this weekend.
Well, there you have it in the nutshell. And the opening round is Thursday through Sunday at Crooked Stick. And Glass was right. That was the earliest design, Pete Dye design, back in 1964 when he put things together up in Hamilton County. And it is a treasure chest, and it will be worth going up and seeing all of the activities. We mentioned the golfers will be visiting Peyton Manning's Children's Hospital. They got a lot going on for the players, a lot for you fans. And remember what Glass said about the parking situation. And if you're going to go up for a practice round or two, I've been in contact with a young lady who has been taking care of the situation up there. She's written me so many emails, I misplaced
they're
about
busy.
Half of them.
But they're busy times.
All right, we got 30 seconds. Give me your winner. Give me your
well,
top two.
Well, it makes sense that you think McIlroy's going to go back-to-back like he did in 2012. But, again, when you have this deep of field, when you have weather delays, who can handle that delay? Who can persevere through that? Yeah. Look for a guy that's going to knock the golf ball down the fairway. The safest bet this week would be Adam Scott. T4 is first two out. He was T6 here in 2012. I think the Australian can handle all that.
All right. So, and he's been a little quiet after a fantastic start to 2016. He's cooled down, but now he can warm up. I mean,
he
hadn't cooled two down. I mean, he's number five with 3,000 FedEx Cup points, and he's only just glancing at things, only 100 or so away from Dustin
Johnson.
Right
in the conversation. And there's nothing wrong with Dustin Johnson either. It's going to be, Joe, I just hope the stars come out like they did in 2012, yep. And we'll all enjoy it.
My friend, good talking.
Thanks,
golf
buddy.
With you. Mike Glasscock, contributing writer for Golf Week, and we'll be back to close things out. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Well, closing things down, and as our rule, we always like to give the employee of the week. He works his tail off. One of the fine bartenders here at Yogi's, John Hoptoff, and we send our best out to John and keep up the good work, son. We got the Reds and the Mets coming up here at the top of the hour in the zone. Dave and Glass, your phone calls at 6. Carolina, Denver, our pregame. Yep, everything starts now, NFL-wise, starting on Thursday. We'll have the pregame at 7:45, the kick between the Panthers and the Broncos sometime around 8:30 or so. And the big rivalry week, North and South, Chalk Talk at 6:30 with Mo Moriarty and Scott Bless. We'll be out there at Bloomington North. Owen Valley plays at Edgewood at 7 o'clock in the annual Black and Blue game. And also a trophy game there, Kevin Wilson's crew. The home opener against the 1-0 Ball State Cardinals, kickoff on ESPNU, will be at 4:10. Or if you can't get to the game, we hope you can. Come on in. Plenty of big screens here to watch it on TV here at Yogi's. Colts, 3:30, starting for real against the Lions on Sunday. Well, our producer, Will Boatman, Joanna Glasscott, Mike Glasscott, and our guest, Sherry Dunbar-Cruzan. Also, the young ladies, Megan Tallman, joining us along with Kendall Bierman. We wish the best of the volleyball team. We'll see you next week. You've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Good night, everyone. We'll see you next Tuesday night.